It's time for another episode of Rainmaker for Contractors. Interviews and success stories with million-dollar-plus basement waterproofing and foundation repair owners. Discover how they market and grow their companies in today's economy. Hear directly from the most successful leaders in your industry. With your host and Rainmaker for Contractors owner, Bill Crawford.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have Jim King from King Pierce. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Jim, I would love to hear more about your company. I love that you're doing foundation repair in addition to basement waterproofing and a whole bunch of other things. Can you tell us a little bit about your services and the area that you serve?
Most of the projects we do are straightening walls, raising footings back to their correct level elevation. We do some crack repair, epoxy injection. I'm kind of leaning towards my superintendent, Mark, has kind of done some studying and some research on the poly foam injection. And according to some structural engineers, it's better than the epoxy. And I have a hard time grasping that, but just like carbon fiber, telling me a piece of carbon fiber is stronger than an I-beam. I mean, I don't use I-beams, I use H-beams. But it just, I have a hard time fathoming, you know, making that into a reality in my mind, because it just doesn't seem, every time I've seen carbon fiber after a couple of years, it peels off, it hides a bunch of stuff. That's, it's great about that, but it peels off on the edges. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of it.
What area do you serve?
Kansas and Missouri.
Okay.
I've been to Oklahoma. I sell my peers to people, not a whole bunch of people, but over the years, probably 10 or 15 people have called me. I just had one the other day. I met with him yesterday. I thought it was a bid, and he had called me from my YouTube channel. I gave him my number, and we visited, and I wrote his name and address down. I went to his house, and his back, he got a beautiful detached workshop. Slab on grade with a frost footing, and one side of it you can see a crack in the floor. The floors, they poured the frost footing and then they poured the floor, and it's on top of the frost footing, which is good. It's better than it being, you know, dowelled in from the side. But anyway, one side's 3 inches lower than the other, and I gave him a price of $16,000 for 8 piers, and he said, "I'm the guy that you talked to you on the phone about doing it myself." And I said, "Oh yes, yes." So anyway, I'm selling him my 8 piers, and he's going to do it himself from watching my videos. And I told him I'd go out there when they get ready to start to make sure everything's in place and make sure, you know, everything's good.
So your primary business is this piering foundation repair
guy. Yeah.
But on occasion, yeah, you're going to sell your piers to people in the business that need,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, not much, but yeah.
Got it. That makes sense. Hey, I want to mention your YouTube channel, because you've really gone to town with these videos. And me being in marketing, I love videos. I think they're great. I think it's a great way for customers to know who you are, to connect even subconsciously, to see your work, to see your crews. They're done really well, and you have a lot of videos. If anyone's interested, go to YouTube and go to King Pierce. But let me pick your brain. So why do you think doing videos is helpful?
Well, when I first started it, I just wanted to get the word out. It was free. That was the main thing, you know, it's free, and YouTube was growing. I watched YouTube all the time. I don't get a great number of views. I think the most views I've had on a video was a job I did in Pleasant Hill about 7, 8, 10 years ago. And it's maybe got 70,000 views, 65,000 views. So I don't get a ton of views. It's not a real exciting market, you know, but
that's,
I just do it.
That's a lot.
Is it really?
It is a lot. I see 49,000, 35. I mean, that's a lot of views. You're doing really well.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it was that doing that well, but I only got 2,300 subscribers. So
that's a lot.
Is it really?
It is, for foundation repair. Like, you know, I like to ask, how many contractors do you subscribe to their channels to? Not very many. I'm guessing there's probably a lot of people in the business that are actually foundation repair people that kind of learn from you.
I heard yesterday there's 76 companies in Kansas City
doing foundation repair.
Yeah, that
surprised me. With the Basement Health Association, we went there a couple of years ago, and there's quite a few foundation repair folks. I think that's like the capital of foundation repair. So you have quite a lot of competition. And speaking of that, where do you get your leads from?
They're all organic calls. Yeah, I don't pay Angie or Home Advisor. I did that back years ago, but when it was really good and kind of new, but the leads were, you couldn't get in contact with anybody. Then they deduct 50, 60 bucks out of your account. Yeah. One of my customers, his name was a really smart young man, Alex Altamare. I appeared at his house. And he seen my website. It was about a $99 website, you know, had name and phone number and email address. It was about it. And he started telling me about, I was paying Google pay-per-click like $4,000 a month.
Sure.
And my phone was ringing off the hook. And I would, you get a notification saying, hey, you're down to 500 bucks or whatever, throw more money in it. It didn't even hurt you because it was just, 2011, 2010, 11, and 12. That 12, we had a big drought here, and the paying them was no big deal. And then Alex said, "Hey, you know, I can build you a website to where you're not paying anything. You can save that $40,000-$50,000 a year to Google, and you can get paid people that will your name will pop up when they search something on their phone or their computer." And he was right. It took about 3 months, and I shut all that down. And you know, if you do good work and you videotape what you're doing befores and afters, I think it's a sure way to be successful in whatever you're doing, doesn't matter what you're doing.
And volume wise, like what's a typical year for you for sales or revenue?
Oh, I don't know. We're right around the $1 million mark. Okay. Last year was my, you know, we did, you know, like I said, for years, I only had a 4-man crew. Now we got 5, 6 people in my company count me, and I do everything. I take all the calls. I schedule everything and supervise everything. So, you know, I look bigger than what I am.
As far nice, as, smart move. That's the beauty of the internet, right?
Is it? Yeah. I had a guy that worked for me one time. He was a terrible worker. I tried to expand over COVID. I had so much work. You wouldn't believe how much money I've lost. COVID cost me unbelievable. I lost well over $500,000 during that 2-year period from, you know, when I dig a 4x4 hole and I got to go cover that hole with a piece of plywood. Usually I buy a 4x8 sheet of plywood, cut it in half and throw it over the hole. The holes are about 36 inches by 36 by 36, right around there. And 32 by 36 actually is what we try to build them. It depends on how big the person is doing it. My guys are all Mexican and they're all smaller guys. So 36 by 32 is the hole. If it's a King Pier 2, if it's a hole that's very deep, the hole gets bigger because you got to work down in the hole. The thing about my system is I've never had a cave in. We hand dig our holes and we've got it down to such an art. It would be hard for another company to do what we do. Even if they had, it's taken 14 years, my crew doing the same thing. Like we knocked out a 24 pier job on a house in 4 days.
Wow.
That used to take me a month and a half. I'm not kidding you. And one of the problems during COVID we had is I told my son, I said, I don't think the phone's going to ring when they shut everything down. And it was just the opposite. We got more jobs during COVID, but we had a problem. Before COVID, I could start your job, order the piers, and they're ready. They're cut, ready to weld the next day. COVID hit. It turned into 3 and 4 weeks. Mm. And so what do? Do I send my crews home? They're just telling me, hey, go on home. I'll call you when the piers are ready. they can't, these, my men have families. They don't go to the beer joint when they're done working. They go home to their wives and their kids, and all of them. They don't smoke and they don't drink. It's really unbelievable. And they've worked with me for years. They eat, they bring their lunch to work, hook in a microwave and eat their lunch right there. And get, it's a 15, 20 minute lunch and they're back at it. It seems to me these people live to work. You know, they love what they do. And I tried to expand. I hired about 10 guys. It almost, they were horrible. 30-year-olds, man, they sit on, every time I drive by a job, they nobody working, they're just on their phones.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't work out. That cost me a couple hundred thousand dollars of
Those are costly mistakes, really are. Hey, Jim, let me ask, on a typical job, how many peers do you sell? And then what would that typical job go for, ballpark-ish?
Typical job would be a 12-peer job on a small home. $24,000.
Wow. Okay. All right. Great.
And now I can do that in about 2.5 days. That's nice. The only thing that's pulling me out of this slump I'm in through COVID is my phone rings a lot and I did a lot of work. And now that we've got it down to such an art, now let's just say my crew, something happens to my crew that's been with me from the start. And I have to hire new people. I would go back to where, you know, it would be not good. I'd probably start excavating everything with a mini excavator instead of hand digging my holes.
Yeah.
Which is very safe. I'd probably just hire an excavator and just use my mini excavator and get down to the footing and then make it easy. And we can tunnel underneath and those where the piers go, eliminate the digging.
Got it.
That if you do it that way and easy, you can find white guys all day long that want to work. But anything that has to do with a shovel, a jackhammer, you know, a hammer drill, whatever. They don't want no part of it.
Hey, we have a lot of basement waterproofing folks that listen to this podcast. What kind of basement waterproofing do you do?
The kind that I do is I give people options. If they have cracks in their walls, I give them a price. This is the expensive way. It's the epoxy injection. I usually charge about $100 a foot for that. If it's a 6-foot crack, it's $600. If there's a bunch of cracks, you come down off that price, obviously. But I offer that. And if they don't want to pay that, then I'll go get some NP150 polyurethane and a trowel knife and give them a real cheap price, a few $100, just to, you know, seal it with polyurethane, a Band-Aid. Yep. And I tell them that. That way there's no confusion. You know, one way will work well, is guaranteed, and the other way isn't. So.
Do you get into any kind of drain tile work?
You know, the reason I don't, my methodology is so different than everybody else. Everybody else will jackhammer, a foot out from the wall to expose the footing, put this little plastic trough on top of the footing. It's got a little gap in the back and they put a plastic sheet over the wall and the sheet goes down in the little gap.
Some do that. Most that I hang out with don't do that little
thing. Everybody in Kansas City does that. That's all I see. I tear those out all the time.
For sure.
But that's what I see. The way I do it, if I'm going to do your floor, and here's the deal. I went to a house a few months ago. One of my competitors did the job only because she had the paperwork. She just bought the house. And a month later, I was scheduled to go back over there and there's the guy that did the same thing I'm just telling you about. Her whole basement floor was cracked. And it was all due to the jackhammering. They snap a line with a chalk string and they take a jackhammer and bup, 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 all the way around the perimeter of the foundation of the floor. And it just, it ruins the floor, the vibration of it. You know, concrete's rigid, has no flexibility. And it's always low strength concrete. The floors under residential homes, I don't know about in Illinois, but in Missouri and Kansas, they're built to the standard minimum. Footings are generally 16 inches by 8 inches thick, which is ludicrous to me, or 2 feet wide by 8 inches thick with two runs of number four rebar, usually sitting on the ground on the bottom of the concrete. It's low strength concrete. It's got fly ash in the concrete. If I was Superman and I was really strong, after about 6 months of a concrete footing with 3,000 pound mix, I could probably break it over my knee if I was strong enough. It's just brittle. And so what happens is the earth is always moving. It's always moving. So that low strength concrete sitting on soil, it'll get a crack in it. And that footing will, where the crack is, it'll stay even for a while, and then it'll go like this. And then the floor that's sitting on one third of the footing, abutting the foundation wall, will develop a little crack in the floor. And if you set up a laser level where the crack is, it's usually, you know, it drops down and it's sitting on one third of the footing. It's very, foundation repair is very simple.
I hear you.
A lot of frauds, though.
Chicago, we had a compressor on 90% of the floors. They're super thick. And the walls are super thick.
How thick are the walls?
Thick. Very, like thickest in the country, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
So walls aren't leaning in much?
No, and it's all poured concrete. You know, it's like 10% cinder. Yeah. So thick walls. Hey, I think you do, you'd mentioned you do foundation repair differently. Like, how are you different than your competitors when it comes to foundation repair?
Well, like a wall brace, we use an H-beam. An H-beam is 4 inches by 4 inches with thick webbing. An I-beam is 2 inches by 4 inches with thin webbing. But we run an H-beam up between the ceiling joists, usually to about 2 inches from the subfloor. And I see my competitors, if this is the top of your wall, there's the beam. It's just a cut, a half inch or an inch, trying to save money, I guess. I don't know. But I cut them as tall as I can.
Yeah.
Run them damn near to the subfloor. 6x6 treated with support beam bolted from the sides into the ceiling joist. I sister on 3 foot of the like-size ceiling joist bolted from the sides. And then at the end of that, another 6x6. Treated wood support being bolted from the sides. And that's how I do it. I saw cut my hole. I don't just jackhammer a hole. I don't want to cause any problems to the homeowner because of what I did ever. And that's one of the reasons I videotape everything. I don't get paid to tear up the house. I'm not getting paid to do a temporary fix. I'm getting paid to do a permanent fix in my mind. So that's how I do it.
That's awesome. And what kind of warranty do you put on your work?
25 years. Generally.
Nice job. You've been in the business for 20 years or so?
I've been doing foundation repair. I worked for my grandfather. He retired, got out of it since I was about 15 years old.
Okay.
He did the helical piers. So I'm very experienced in helical piers and know all about those. That's why I don't use them.
So you're super experienced. What would you tell your younger self getting into this business? What are some things that you've learned? And so, if you were like 20, 30 years younger, what kind of wisdom would you pass on to yourself?
My biggest problem in my life in business was trusting people, the wrong people. There's a lot of dishonest people that you thought were honest. Brother, I can tell you story after story. I had one company that I worked for 2.5 years doing foundation repair, concrete. They even talked me into painting apartments. And I said, I don't know nothing about painting apartments. Oh, it's no big deal. Just put an ad in the paper. And this is before the internet was real big. Put an ad in the paper. And next thing I know, I had 15 painters and I'm painting. I'm making all kinds of money. They're doing real good. But anyway, that's 2000. When was the Great Recession? 2008?
Yes, sir. In the fall. Yep.
Yeah, that's when this was. 2008, they got to where they owed me. It's my fault. I trusted them. They, for 2.5 years, they paid me. Sometimes it was short, but they always ended up paying me. But I ended up getting stuck for about $400,000. Instead of getting a check, I got a bankruptcy notice. So, I mean, I've had bad luck. I blame it all on myself. Why would you get that deep into somebody? Why would you keep spending your money? And I was just so busy. I don't know. I didn't look at my books until one day they sent me a schedule through a fax for the next week's work. And I happened to look at my books because my neighbor was my CPA. He came over and reconciled everything. And he never said anything. Hey, man, you're getting low on money here. You know, I was always upstairs. He was downstairs. It was always in the evening when he came over and he'd be there for about an hour and he'd leave my gym, even my neighbor. and got down to where I had like a ton of money in the bank, but I didn't use a bank. I didn't use credit cards. Everything was a debit card. I paid for all the materials myself, and I ended up getting screwed out about $420,000+. Yeah. And I ate it. I never filed bankruptcy. I don't know how I survived. I just ate it.
That's something.
Paid a lot of things off. I was doing city work. I had bonded work I was doing, and it just created. I was doing private work. I was doing city work, building roads on top of foundations. I was very, very busy. And wow. At one point, I thought I was on top of the world. And then when that happened, I realized I wasn't on top of the world. So, I've had some trusting people. It's been my problem.
Wow, I hear you. Hey, last question for you, Jim. If someone were new to the business, what would you recommend they do? Like, would you say, make sure you take care of the customer? Would you say make YouTube videos? Any other wisdom that you'd tell someone just getting into the foundation repair business?
Because since COVID, people have changed, in my opinion. I don't think I've changed because I've been out in it. I haven't had to stay home and do nothing. I don't know, but people have changed. I've had a handful of bad customers. What I would tell people is when you, I would record everything. All the conversations, they don't have to know it. You got an iPhone, press record, put it in your pocket. Be very cordial, be very professional. Say what you do and do what you say. Type them up a bit if they go with you. Everything from A to Z. Do it better than everybody else, and do it engineering sound. Don't just little things. Don't jackhammer floors. Separate yourself from everybody else. And a YouTube channel, it helps. I put in a real water track system, not a little plastic trough over the footing. I saw cut the floor all the way through it. I jackhammered the floor out, and I dig down 3 foot from the wall out into the floor. Petromat filtered fabric, 12 foot, 3, 6, 9, 12, 2 foot of rock, run a PVC pipe with Petromat around it. I drill holes in the PVC, one end's plugged. It's all got fall to a sump pump with a battery backup. I've put in they're very expensive. I charge a couple $100 a foot for those. But I've put in probably 10 to 15 of them in my life. My grandfather did them that way. I thought it was terrible overkill at the time, but it never fails. You don't have mold. When I pull those plastic sheets off walls, the job at Pleasant Hill, it was real muddy when we was doing that job. And on one side of those sheets was black with mold, And I go to so many houses where it's elderly people and they don't even realize the mold that there is in their house.
For sure.
Because they went with those systems. But they're supposed to be allergenic or not do that, but it's everything wears off.
Yep. All right. So I got two big things out of that one. One is do super high quality work that you could stand behind. And two is document everything. Take pictures before, after, have the customer sign off and everything.
Yeah. And if they want to do something different, get a change order or some type of change order. You learn from your mistakes. Don't make the mistakes. Yeah.
Sign off on it and charge for the extra work.
Another thing is don't charge for your materials. Pay for your materials when you buy them. There's nothing worse than think you're having a good month and didn't pay for the material. Just put it on your account. Next thing you know, the bill's coming. You got a huge bill. And it's a mind bust. So I pay for everything. I don't owe nobody a dime. And that's how I built my company. I don't have no accounts.
I love it.
Yeah. Even with concrete, I backfill my piers with high strength concrete. I pay cash, not cash. I pay with a debit card when I order. It's paid for. And that's how I do it. I could run an account, but my gosh, if you're doing 10 jobs a month, you're looking at a $20,000 bill coming in the mail. And you think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'd rather pay the little pieces at a time, get them over with. Yeah.
Hey, folks, there you have it. Jim King from King Piers. Great words of wisdom there. Thanks so much for joining us on this podcast. Really helpful.
Nice meeting you. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast, where basement waterproofing and foundation repair business owners and industry experts share marketing and sales information that helps you reach more customers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform and get all of our show notes at rainmakerforcontractors.com/podcast.